Well, open up your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 23, probably the most beloved psalm in the entire Bible, probably the second best-known Old Testament verse. First, I think, is "In the beginning God created in the heavens and the earth," but the second one is Psalm 23. So open up your Bible to that. We're going to talk about sheep today. And what can I say? It reminds me of a blonde joke. Once there was a blonde who was sick of all the blonde jokes. And so she decided to dye her hair red and trick everyone into thinking she was a redhead. So she did that, and then she went for a drive to see who she could trick. And she came across a sheep herder and said to the sheep herder, "If I can guess how many sheep there are in your herd, will you give me one?" He says, "Sure." So this redhead is counting sheep. Comes up, she says to the shepherd, says, "There are 345 sheep in your herd." He said, "Wow. Well, go ahead and take a sheep." So she went and took an animal, put it in her car, and the shepherd came over to the car and he said, "Now I have a deal for you. If I can guess your real hair color, will you give me back my dog?" Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Father, we ask you today to teach us how to follow the shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about this psalm. This is such a wonderful psalm. It has four parts. The first part is that the shepherd provides in good times. And so you see this beautiful scene of a shepherd leading his flock. "I shall not want" is the first part of it. He provides what I need. I need a husband. I need a wife. I need a better job. I need a car. I need enough income when I retire. I need health. I need strength. And the neat thing about following the shepherd is that it's his responsibility to give you what you need, to provide for you what you need. Now, it's not his responsibility to chomp the grass for you, but it's his responsibility to see that you can be in a place where you'll have all your needs met. That's one of the great benefits that we have from following the shepherd. It says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." One of the things that I like about the wintertime in Northern California is it's green. Everything's green. We've got some deer that live on our property, and for once, they're eating the green grass rather than my wife's roses. So, but it's beautiful this time of year, and for sheep, it must be paradise. But it's the shepherd's job to find green pasture. In the Middle East, if you've been there, there's a lot of kind of rocky soil and desert land, and it's the shepherd's job to find the good place to graze for the sheep. A lot of times that means moving. You'll graze out an area and then you move the flock higher up the mountain. And part of being a sheep is following the shepherd. Part of being a shepherd is knowing where the green grass is. Then the scripture says, He leads me beside still waters. We've got a little creek near us, Secret Ravine, which last week was raging. It wasn't up to the bridge yet, but it was pouring down there. If you go up in the Sierras this time of year, you have the streams just tumbling down the hill. Sheep can't drink there, and if they tried to and fell in, that would be the end of them. And so the shepherd goes and looks for places where there's pools of water or where the stream is flowing very gently and brings the sheep over there and lets them get the water that they need. It's the shepherd's job to take care of the sheep. And then it says, He restoreth my soul. He restores my soul. And I kind of think that the psalmist is moving a little bit here from the sheep to the people that he's really talking about. He restores my soul. The word here is nephesh or even life. It means to bring a renewal, to bring a refreshing, to restore. I can remember a time when I was, about a dozen years ago now, I was just utterly wiped out emotionally. I had suffered great loss. I was at burnout. I felt hopeless. I felt a sense of shame and failure and pain and hurt inside. Some of you can identify with some of those feelings because you felt them too. And gently, gradually, the shepherd restored my soul. Gradually, gently, he brought me back to a place of health and renewal. Because the sheep was hurt and the shepherd was gentle. And the wonderful thing about it is that the shepherd restores our soul. Sometimes he even helps us with life itself. Jesus told a story of the 99 sheep and the one. Remember that? The shepherd is bringing his flock back to the fold at night and counts his sheep to make sure they're all there. There are 100 sheep, but one is missing. And so he leaves the sheep in the fold, probably with a couple of other shepherds they're camping with, and goes out on the hills at night, no flashlights, just looking for that sheep, and goes up, down, and into gullies and up hills until he hears a faint bleating in the distance. And he knows it's the sheep, and he comes and finds the sheep and untangles the sheep and puts the sheep on his shoulders and comes back into the camp around the fire where the rest of the sheep are, puts the sheep down, and it sort of scuttles off with the other sheep. And he says to the shepherds who were there, "Let's have a party, because the sheep that was lost is found." It's a parable, it's a picture of how God looks for us and seeks us out. And when He finds us, rejoicing in heaven, the Scripture says, He restores my soul. He restores my soul. You maybe feel like you're out there, away from the fold and the flock and the safety, feeling very vulnerable. And I want to encourage you to help the shepherd by bleating. "Here I am. Here I am." So he can find you. Part of it's, I mean, he knows where you are, but part of it's you finding him. And that requires that kind of calling out to him. "Here I am." Then the scripture says, "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Now the psalmist is talking in moral terms here. Paths of righteousness. Right paths. Paths that lead the right direction. John Muir, who was a California hero, one of my heroes, early in his life came to California, and the way he earned a living was being a shepherd. And he would take a flock of sheep somewhere down on the east side of the Central Valley, and take those sheep by the end of summer up in the meadows of Tuolumne, up through Yosemite. And when one pasture would be completed, he would lead to the next, and he would lead to the next. If you've ever been to Yosemite, you know that it's kind of... some of it's beautiful, and some of it is very rugged. And so as Muir had to take those sheep up to the next pasture, some of the sheep probably looked at each other and said, "Does he know what he's doing?" Because he would have to go around rocks and through deep forests and no pasture in sight. And the sheep, if they were smart enough to be humans, would start to second-guess the shepherd. But sometimes the shepherd has to take us through paths that we wouldn't go in order to get to the next place of feeding. Maybe God's doing that in your life right now. You wonder, what is going on, O Lord? What in the world is happening? When I was in college, I had a roommate named Lee, and we had probably the best, this is my senior year, we probably had the best room on campus, overlooking the quad, and a two-room suite. You know, after you sort of work up from being a freshman, you sometimes luck out and draw the right room, and we drew the right room. And he was a Christian, and we would come back every day towards the late afternoon, and generally we would greet each other saying, "You know, the Lord really knows what he's doing." Because he would be answering prayer. We talked about putting a poster on our wall to that effect, never got around to it. God knows what he's doing, even though we don't know what he's doing at the time. The shepherd leads. Sometimes we balk at the path that he takes. Sometimes we would rather take a shortcut. But it says he calls us in paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake, because of his reputation is at stake. We're inclined to take shortcuts, moral shortcuts. And he calls us to take straight paths, and he leads us on them if we'll follow him. One of the ways we get lost is by scurrying up some shortcut and then not being able to find him again for a while. The next thing is the shepherd protects us in dangerous times, verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The word in Hebrew means the valley of deep darkness. Or it could be translated death, or danger, fear. Have you ever walked through at night through a bad neighborhood and kind of looked over your shoulder to see if someone was following you, and if they were, walked a little bit faster? It's a whole lot more comfortable to have somebody big with you. And someone that has a rod. I meant to bring my rod with you. I walk out where we live on Barton Road, and our next door neighbor a while back had a pair of dogs that were unkindly, and they would bark, but they would not only bark, but they would scurry around the fence and under the fence, and then come out in the road and threaten me. Well, I didn't like walking there any too much till I decided to get a rod. I wish I had brought it. It's a broomstick that's about an inch and a quarter in diameter. And so when I walked that direction on the road, I would carry that rod. And the dogs didn't get as close when I had the rod. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. They comfort me." It's the shepherd's job to protect the sheep. It's the shepherd's job to defend the sheep. against those troubles and those enemies and those carnivores out there. Jesus said in John 10, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd." Jesus said, "I lay down my life for my friends." And he did. And he did. And if you want to look at it in this analogy, the Lamb of God who died for the rest of us, the shepherd for the sheep. When I was younger, and my kids were quite a bit younger, I have three children, two boys and a girl. The girl wasn't around yet, and the boys were young. I think David was around four, and Dan was maybe two, and sometimes still in a playpen. We went camping right after Labor Day up in the Redwoods. And so the previous weekend, this entire campsite had been full of campers, just, you know, jam full. And then the next day, we were there and maybe one other camper way over on the other side of the campground. And about dinner time, raccoons started coming. And not just one, but five or six big, well-fed raccoons started coming over to our camp. And I'm feeling a little uncomfortable, and I make sure that my kids are sort of put away. I had a tool with me, which is I got at one of these surplus stores. It is a shovel about so long. On one side it has a folding camp shovel, has a blade of a shovel, and the other side has a little pick. And so I opened it up. My son Dave said, "Pick their heads, Dad, pick their heads." Well, they sort of left after a while, and I didn't have to pick their heads, but it made me think about defending with inadequate tools the sheep. And that's my great experience of defense. One of the neat parts of this psalm is the shepherd blesses abundantly in times of intense pressure. The shepherd blesses abundantly in times of intense pressure. Some of you right now are going through intense pressure in your life. Some things are happening in your life that are hard to deal with. I want to tell you, the shepherd blesses abundantly in times of intense pressure. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Very interesting verse. I looked up the word table. What it was is an animal skin. I mean, they'd have a picnic, see? They would roll out the animal skin and have a picnic on it. We might have a tablecloth or something on the grass, but they would have an animal skin. And they would set their table right there in the sight of their enemies. With their enemies watching, "You prepare a table for me." With the enemies watching, and God blessing, and showing His love, and showing His abundance, He is able to set a table before you in the presence of your enemies and give you a blessing. Sometimes we say, "Well, God, if you get rid of those enemies, if you get rid of all that stuff, I'd be okay." But He is able to set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. "Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. What does that mean? Well, I'm told that they used to anoint sheep with oil, but if you were a guest in a Middle Eastern home, the polite thing to do was when your guest came in, you would pour olive oil on their hair. No, thank you. No, thank you. But that's what a host did. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I can remember having dinner years ago at the home of a Chinese lady in Los Angeles. And she served wonderful Chinese food. And I was trained, you know, to eat what's on my plate. About the time my plate would be just about exhausted, you know, clean, she would say, "Oh, you need more." And start, you know, and I was telling her how good the food was, and it went on like that. One of the things she served was sea snail. You ever had Chinese sea snail? It's a delicacy, ma'am. Sir, it's a delicacy. And I'd had too much of the delicacy by that time. But this idea of the cup runneth over means that he keeps filling our cup until we've had all we need. More than we need, he is able to supply in the presence of our enemies. He may not remove the enemies, but he will be there, and he will bless you abundantly in that time. Then it says, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I looked up that word, follow me. You know what it means? Pursue. Persecute. Go hard after. And so what the psalmist is saying here is, it's not your enemies that will pursue you and persecute you. It is goodness and mercy from God that are going to be right on your tail all the days of your life. What a promise. The final part of this psalm is that the shepherd leads me to eternal life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Right at the end of December, one of my friends I'd known for, I don't know, 15 years, I suppose, Chet Ray, was dying. He had been in his prime in the California Assembly, probably one of the most powerful men in California. But now he was about 85, at home here in Rockland, dying. We talked about heaven. And then I said out loud the 23rd Psalm, and though his voice wasn't quite strong enough to be hardly heard, he said it after me, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Chet had power in this world, but he needed the shepherd to lead him home. And that's one of my questions to you. Do you know the shepherd we're talking about here? The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is my shepherd. Do you know the shepherd? He knows you. Do you know him? And what's more, are you following the shepherd? In order to get the blessings that the shepherd has, you've got to follow the shepherd. Are you running from the shepherd? I can just imagine some stupid sheep doing that. Can you? You know, the shepherd's going this way and some stupid sheep's going that way as fast as he can hightail it. And I think sometimes that's me. We get lost, dear friends. We get lost that way. We get lost that way. And that may be you, and you may be lost right now. My father-in-law, before he came to California, was a shepherd, was a farmer in Illinois, and had sheep. And he didn't have a very high opinion of the mental acuity of sheep. But he would miss sheep, and then he would walk the fences. He'd walk the fences looking. Sheep sometimes needed help in childbirth. Sheep sometimes needed the thorns pulled out of their coat. Sheep sometimes got tangled up in barbed wire, and so he would walk the fences till he found the sheep. Sheep couldn't untangle himself, but the shepherd could untangle him and get him loose, and he scurries back. If you're one of those that's been caught, that's lost, that's run the other direction, and you need a shepherd, today I have good news for you, and that is the shepherd is looking for sheep. And not only that, he's not looking for churches full of happy Christians, the 99. He's looking for people that are lost, and he's looking for you. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord Jesus, we come to you so thankful for the promises that you have for us in your word. Thank you that you are a shepherd to us. Thank you, O Lord, that you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies, that you will not be cowed by them, and neither shall we. Thank you, O Lord, for your strength and your protection. Thank you for your provision, O God. Thank you for paths of righteousness. And Lord, today I pray for lost sheep. I ask you today, O Lord, for those who are here this morning and are struggling. Some of them have been Christians for a long time. Some of them aren't sure they're really Christians yet. But Lord, they're here and they're struggling. I pray, O great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the everlasting covenant, that you would reach out and find them today. That you'd put your arm around them and untangle them, O God, and set their feet straight on the right path again. If you're here today and you need the shepherd, I'd like you to pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, good shepherd, I need you today. Come and find me. Come and rescue me. Come and help me today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you prayed that prayer, would you just lift up your hand and say, pray for me. I prayed that prayer. I need the shepherd. Anybody? Yes. Anybody else? I need the shepherd today. I need the shepherd today, yes. Lord, these who have indicated to you that they need your help and they need your strength today, I pray that you would meet them powerfully right now and touch their lives and lead us all, O Lord, to life everlasting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.